Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Josh Davis will share the latest headlines from the end times. First, though, I've got a question. Have you ordered your calendar? Each year, we produce a calendar to raise funds for our prison ministry. This special ministry provides Bibles, resources, prayer, and encouragement to prisoners across the country. This year, our calendar theme is Beyond the Veil. Created by Marginal Mysteries host Micah Van Huss, the Beyond the Veil 2026 calendar has stunning imagery, a guide for reading through the Bible in a year, and the major Jewish holidays. And right now, we are doing a very special promotion. You order one, you give two. That means each calendar ordered provides two free calendars for incarcerated individuals through our Onesimus Prison Ministry. This calendar, with its one-of-a-kind images, is perfect for daily encouragement, Bible study inspiration, or as a meaningful gift. As we get closer to Christmas, what a wonderful gift to give a special Beyond the Veil calendar to each of your family and friends. Order your Beyond the Veil calendar today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or order at swrc.com. Remember, we have special discounts when you order multiple calendars. This year's calendar is truly one that you don't want to miss out on. 1-800-652-1144. The UN's annual climate change convention, COP30, ends today in Brazil. This year's convention focused on how to control information about climate change denialism and disinformation. Who gets to be the judge and jury on this topic? The UN wants internet control to reign in voices of dissent. Will the Antichrist have control over the internet during the tribulation? Is science settled on man-made climate change? What are the spiritual outworkings of the climate change craze? Josh Davis dives deep into the effects of climate change in COP30 on today's Headlines from the End Times.
Greetings, fellow Watchmen on the Wall, and welcome to another Headlines from the End Times. The very next issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine has articles that span from creation to the end of the age, talking about the new heaven, the new earth, looking back at dinosaurs, looking back at creation. It all deals with planet Earth. Why am I highlighting that as I kick off this episode? It's because of this. The article that I've written talks about an event that ends today in Brazil. It's called COP30. Now, what is COP30? How does it deal with the radical climate change agenda at work in our world today that is part and parcel of globalism? I'm going to explore all of that today on Headlines from the End Times. Welcome, friends. Thank you for joining me. The climate change hysteria continues to escalate in our world, and the consequences are dire, friends. The climate alarmists claim that severe weather is going to increase. Millions of human lives are going to be lost. Species of animals, plants are going to go extinct. Earth will become a boiling, burning inferno if climate change is not stopped. And they talk about man-made climate change. And so to that end, the annual COP meeting is held in Brazil, and it was held November 10th through today, November 21st. This year's convention is called COP30. Next year's is COP31. So the technical name for this is the 30th Conference of the Parties. That's where they get the word COP, C-O-P, Conference of the Parties, to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. Yeah, COP30, that's a lot easier to say than Conference of the Parties to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. They estimate that between 40 to 60,000 people have attended this year's event. Each year, a different country hosts this meeting as the UN promotes its climate change agenda to the world. So the decisions that are made at COP every single year are far-reaching, since almost every country in the world is a member of this conference. In the United States of America, especially under the Biden administration, was very much in support of these efforts, pledging that the U.S. would give billions, if not trillions, of dollars to these kinds of efforts. And what kind of efforts are they? We're going to unpack that as we continue on today's episode. So what are they discussing this year? What has been the agenda that they have been talking about this particular year? Well, one of the core action items for COP30 is to, quote, combat climate disinformation and denial, end quote. A key concept of this action item is information integrity. This is the phrase that they are using. This is something that, as watchmen on the wall, we need to open our ears to hearing, because we're going to hear this phrase more and more and more. It's just beginning to emerge from what I have researched and what I have uncovered: information integrity. Now, that sounds great, doesn't it? It sounds like something that we need to latch on to. Information integrity. Now, yes, as Christians, we are people of truth, and we want to share information that is correct. But we have to understand the agenda at work behind phrases like this. So according to the COP30 website, quote, this concept, talking about information integrity, ensures that people have access to quality information in their daily lives, serving as a response to denialism and disinformation, end quote. This is why I latch onto this. Denialism and disinformation. The climate change deniers, the climate change disinformation. Somebody has to make the definition, and that's what I'm talking about, friends. As followers of Jesus, we champion the truth. The scripture calls us to combat error, to proclaim God's truth. And so in that sense, Christians should care deeply about information integrity. But there is much more going on at COP30 than simply supporting truth tellers. In recent years, across a wide variety of platforms, the UN has published official documents that call for greater control of the internet to stop what it labels as misinformation, disinformation, and in case of climate change, the deniers of climate change. This is what is at work, and I'm not talking about some random website on the internet that somebody's sitting in their mom's basement and they type it up and they publish it on their blog. That's not the kind of thing that I'm talking about. I'm talking about official UN documents that over the last several years that they have called for reigning in the internet, for bringing information under control, especially when it relates to social media, etc., etc. That leads us to ask a major, major question. Who decides what is misinformation? Who decides what is labeled disinformation? Somebody has to be the judge and jury. Somebody has to decide what information gets blocked, what information gets approved in a world with internet control. And somebody has to have a worldview that informs their decisions. Do you see where this could be leading us to go? So the COP30 website reveals the UN and the World Economic Forum, two very much globalist entrenched groups, are in lockstep on this year's climate change agenda for COP30. This is what the website says, quote, the Global Risks Report 2024 published by the World Economic Forum identified, now listen closely to this, friends, this will show you the globalist agenda at work in our world today, identified extreme weather events as the greatest threat to global stability, followed by the spread of disinformation. The report, this is talking about the World Economic Forum Global Risks Report 2024. This report names disinformation as the most severe risk over the next 2 years, posing a threat to the legitimacy of governments and social cohesion, end quote. Did you get what was just said? I hope that you latched on to that. The UN and the World Economic Forum believe that the two greatest threats to global stability are extreme weather events and the spread of disinformation. But they argue that disinformation will be the most severe risk to global stability over the next 2 years. And so that reveals where the priorities lie with globalist groups like the UN and the World Economic Forum. So the COP30 news release suggests that having this conversation in Brazil is highly appropriate. It states, quote, Brazil was one of the first countries to champion the idea of information integrity. And that's according to Nina Santos. She's the Deputy Secretary of the Secretariat for Digital Policies of the President of the Republic. I'd hate to have that on my business card. That's too much to say, isn't it? She went on to say, quote, "Sometimes when we talk about combating disinformation and denialism, people focus too much on individual content. But this is a much more structural than an individual problem. That's why we must focus on structural solutions." She notes that the climate denialism has been growing worldwide as part of a broader process aimed at undermining democracy, science, and institutions, end quote. Do you see how they couch these terms? They say that if you're denying climate change, you're a threat to democracy, you're a threat to science, you're a threat to the institutions of this world, and that it's a systematic, structural problem that we see happening, not just individuals who are speaking out. And so it goes on to explain, quote, "According to this deputy secretary, Brazil has stood out as a global leader on this issue, which includes not only combating disinformation, but also regulating digital platforms and advancing media literacy." In 2024, just to give you some for instances on the kinds of things that Brazil is doing to combat disinformation online, digital platforms, for instance, in 2024, there was a Brazilian judge who ordered a 40-day ban on the social media platform X after Elon Musk refused to remove information labeled as false about the Brazilian 2022 elections. So X was reinstated in Brazil after it paid over a $5 million fine. Critics argue that the Brazilian judges would have the broad powers to censor freedom of expression. So if a judge, even if there's a judicial panel of judges, or even if it's before some kind of like Supreme Court, and they're the ones who say, this is misinformation, this is labeled hate speech, who's to say they're correct? Who's to say their worldview is the right worldview? If a judge can arbitrarily just say, that's labeled hate speech, that's labeled misinformation, well, he has a worldview, she has a worldview that is underlying that decision that has been made. And friends, this goes a lot further than just the climate change conversation. What if a country, just to give you a for instance, what if a country decided it's illegal to share the gospel via social media? And by the way, there's places like North Korea, etc., that are doing those kinds of things this very day. So could YouTube, Facebook, other social media companies be required to delete user content from another country because they face some stiff penalties for allowing that content on their platforms? Now, what do I mean? If we have a video from Southwest Radio Ministries on our YouTube channel, and it's giving the gospel or teaching something about scripture, or if it's on our Facebook page, etc., etc., people in Brazil, for instance, wouldn't be allowed to access that, or some other part of the world. What direction are we going? I'm building my argument here. Could the global attempts like COP30's agenda be a step closer to a universal system of internet control and free speech rules, limiting, reining in free speech? And if you limit free speech, you've really done away with free speech, haven't you? So louder cries for the global standardization of internet control could be on the horizon, since the content created in any corner of the world can be accessed around the world. Do you think the Antichrist will have control over the internet? This is just something to think about. The Bible talks about a one-world government, a one-world economy, a one-world system of worship. Could any voices of dissent be silenced by reigning in the internet and taking control over that during the biblical end times scenario? Is something worth thinking about? Is something worth pondering? COP30 is primarily discussing the elimination of what it calls climate change denialism and disinformation. That's their words, not mine, denialism and disinformation. So that makes it sound like the science is settled on climate change. Is that true? Is the science settled when it comes to climate change? We'll jump into answering that question, but first let me remind you that Headlines from the End Times is a weekly feature on every Prophecy in the News TV episode and every single issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine. And part of what I'm sharing with you today is part of the article that I've written for the very next Prophecy in the News magazine. And it's all about planet Earth going back to creation, talking about climate change, talking about the new heavens, the new earth, so much more in this issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine. You can subscribe to the magazine today by giving us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or visit the website prophecyinthenews.tv. Again, that's prophecyinthenews.tv. And please do not forget that you can watch every weekly episode of the Prophecy in the News television show, plus you can catch every episode of Watchmen on the Wall in the SWRC mobile app. It's totally free. Just go to your mobile device's app store and type in these four letters in the search bar, SWRC. Again, open your app store, type in these four letters, SWRC, download the free SWRC mobile app to get all the Watchmen on the Wall episodes, plus the weekly episodes of Prophecy in the News TV. It's available free of charge right there at the SWRC mobile app. Now, have you gotten your free welcome packet from our ministry? If not, there's a lot of great benefits. You can start receiving our monthly Prophetic Observer newsletter in your mailbox every month, free of charge. It's part of the ministry of SWRC. Plus, you'll begin getting crucial information from our ministry. Give us a call today to get on our mailing list and ask for your free welcome packet, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Don't forget about our featured resources this week. Our 2026 calendar is called Beyond the Veil. It's available now and is shipping out as we speak. And thank you so much for the response to this. For every calendar you purchase from our ministry, you enable us to send two calendars free of charge to inmates across America. And requests for this calendar are coming in by the thousands. Thank you, friends, for enabling us to share the gospel. Why do I say share the gospel when talking about a calendar? It's because on the very first page, when they open up the calendar, you see loud and clear the gospel message. And we've got letters from inmates who have been saved just by opening up the first page of the calendar. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction into their hearts, and they respond to the gospel message. Praise God for that. And friends, I told you about this last week. If you listened to Friday's Headlines from the End Times, we just got back yesterday from the 2025 Israel tour. We look forward to doing it again next year, and we want you to join us. It's November 8th through the 18th, 2026, God willing. Check out more information on the events page at swrc.com. Again, that's the events page at swrc.com. Registration is open now. Reserve your spot, and we would love to have you join us in Israel, November 8th through the 18th, 2026. Now, as I mentioned before that break, COP30 is primarily discussing the elimination of what it calls climate change denialism and disinformation. And that makes it sound like the science is settled on climate change. But is that true? Let's look at some of the science and the facts behind this. Is Earth facing a climate crisis? That's the question we need to ask. Is Earth facing, we can even add this adjective to that, is Earth facing a man-made climate crisis? So behind the billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars, pledged to combat climate change, there's a major worldview assumption, and that is that Earth is facing an existential climate crisis and humans are to blame. That is a man-made climate crisis. Is this true? Now, contrary to what many climate change activists claim, the science of climate change is far from settled. Climate science is a relatively new field of study, and a lot of the complex climate data goes back only to the 1970s, when some groundbreaking equipment allowed scientists to measure temperature change more accurately, more widely. Scientists will readily admit, if they're honest, that there's much about the climate, much about weather patterns, that remains unknown at present. Now, climate and weather are a little bit different. Climate looks at the broader term of things, whereas weather is the day-to-day kind of operations. But this term, climate change, that's so vague, is it not? It used to be global warming, don't you remember? Global warming, global warming, global warming. Then all of a sudden they began saying climate change, climate change, climate change. It's much more vague, and the climate is constantly changing. Earth has witnessed warming and cooling trends. There are scientists like Jessica DeFord and Avery Foley. They wrote an article called Climate Alarmism: Five Scientific Reasons Not to Panic About Climate Change. In that, they write, historical records indicate there were several warm periods, including what is referred to by scientists as the medieval warm period. That happened between AD 900 and 1300. We're talking about the Middle Ages, some say the Dark Ages. From 900 to 1300 AD, people were able to farm in Greenland. Now, look at Greenland today. Is it green? No, it's covered in ice. But they were farming in Greenland between 900 and 1300. What does that show us? That the earth was substantially warmer during this medieval warm period. And so these scientists argue that contrary to climate hysteria, warmer is actually better. Plant life thrives in warmer weather. Crops have more time to grow. Agricultural production increases significantly. Colder weather cuts the growing seasons short, and that could lead to food shortages. But billions of dollars pour into agendas like the Green Climate Fund. The Green Climate Fund was established by the UN as part of the Paris Climate Agreement. It's an international climate fund, and they argue on their own website, quote, limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius is still narrowly possible and will be determined by the investment decisions we make over the next decade, end quote. So they call on countries to pump literally trillions of dollars into this effort. So why do they emphasize 1.5 degrees Celsius? Quote, there is a shrinking window of opportunity to address the climate crisis. Average global temperature is currently estimated to be 1.1 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial times. This is, again, according to the Green Climate Fund's official website. It continues, quote, based on existing trends, the world could cross the 1.5 degrees Celsius threshold within the next two decades and a 2 degree Celsius threshold early during the second half of the century, end quote. And so even if the world governments that joined this Paris Climate Agreement spend trillions of dollars to reduce carbon dioxide emissions to keep global warming below 2 degrees Celsius over what they say is the pre-industrial revolution levels, they still won't meet their goals. Going back to DeFord and Foley, they say, quote, assuming projections of this climate agreement are correct, by full compliance, it would reduce the global average temperature by only, now get this, 0.17 degrees Celsius by 2100. 0.17 degrees Celsius by 2100. Realistically, such a small number has zero impact on the environment and human well-being. Now, the cost of this Paris Climate Agreement, according to the backers, is $1 to $2 trillion per year from 2030 to the end of the century, 2100. You're talking about close to $140 trillion. That means for every $23 to $46 trillion per a tenth of a degree Fahrenheit in reducing the temperature. Do those benefits justify the astronomical costs? I say absolutely not. On November 20th, 2023, now get this, this is showing how the climate change worldview is working itself out in the daily lives of its adherents. November 20th, 2023, The New Yorker published an article called, quote, The Morality of Having Kids in a Burning, Drowning World, end quote. That piece is a review of two books that question the ethics of what they called procreation in the age of man-made climate change. So the author argues that it is presumptive, if not downright immoral, to have children when their impact on the planet will make it less livable for other life forms. You see, the fear and the guilt and the dread of this predicted climate apocalypse are altering people's lives, people's families forever. Ultimately, friends, this is a spiritual worldview issue. When one begins with a wrong worldview, your worship is directed to creation instead of to the Creator, and the consequences are dire. And so on the other hand, when one has the proper worldview, worship is directed to the Creator God, and the fear and the guilt and the dread of the future all melt away. So the biblical worldview teaches that the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Psalm 24, verse 1. God entrusted humanity as caretakers of earth. A biblical worldview is not an excuse for trashing the planet. That's not what I'm saying. Rather, it's a call to properly manage the resources that God has blessed humanity with. And proper science reveals the Creator and how people can best care for His creation. Now, please note well, dear friends, Bible prophecy never mentions a time when humans will destroy planet Earth. But Bible prophecy reveals that God is going to bring a judgment of fire upon this world that humanity can't start and humanity can't stop. But it also promises that God is going to make all things new. You see, there's no need for climate hysteria because Earth's climate was designed by an all-knowing, all-loving God. He's governing this universe according to His perfect plan, no matter what the UN and the World Economic Forum do.
Stay up to date with the latest headlines with our Prophecy in the News magazine and weekly television program. Subscribe to the Prophecy in the News magazine for the latest insight and analysis of the world around us, and then tune in to the Prophecy in the News television program to stay informed, be encouraged, and deepen your understanding of God's Word. Before we go, I want to say thank you to everyone who's been giving a financial gift this week. Thank you. We need to hear from you right now, my friends. Your support allows us to produce these programs and publications. We can't do it without you. You can give today when you call 1-800-652-1144, or you can give at our website, swrc.com. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends just like you. Visit swrc.com to learn more. That's swrc.com.